Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. We want to say hello to you today. Hope you're having a good day so far. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I want to take just a moment and invite you, if you are in the listening area, if you are looking for a church home or visiting even, we'd love for you to come by and visit with us at Mount Lebanon. You can find all kinds of information about the church and service times on our church website. That is mountlebanonbc.org. And you find that it's mtlebanonbc.org. And so we invite you to come. Of course, that's always an open invitation. We want to welcome all of our listeners today. Noah's not with us. He had a work conflict today, so he was not able to be here, but he always welcomes all of our listeners. We're on several different radio stations with this broadcast. On Saturday mornings, we are on 690 AM WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And then we are also on Saturdays on 89.1 FM, The Truth, in Watertown, South Dakota. And so we appreciate the opportunity to be on these stations. And, of course, right here on our home station, AM 1450 WATA. So we're glad you're with us today. We hope you're having a safe day and a good day so far. It's snowing again here in the high country. And we had snow yesterday, and it snowed and it melted. And then it snowed again, and this time it has hung around a little bit and still coming down. So I just came in to the radio station. The main roads are pretty good. Secondary roads, they're working on them, and some of them are clear and some of them are not. So good day to stay in, have some hot chocolate. But we're going to continue on with our series today. We have been looking at the subject of heroes of prayer. Heroes of prayer. And what I've been doing each week, one week I'll take an example out of the Bible, and the next week I've taken an example out of history, and then out of the Bible, and then out of church history, and just sort of felt like that's the way I wanted to do that this time. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at Daniel in the Bible. Daniel, if ever there is a hero of prayer, Daniel would certainly be at the top of the list. Several examples we could give from the life of Daniel and the book of Daniel. And this we're going to just call Daniel example number two. We've already talked about one example out of Daniel chapter number two. Today we're going to go over to Daniel chapter number six. And we're going to look at verses 1-10 in just a moment. But I want to say, if you're not familiar with the book of Daniel, the time period between Daniel chapter number 2 and Daniel chapter number 6 is at least 60 years, probably a little more than 60 years has transpired since Daniel chapter number 2. In chapter number 2, Nebuchadnezzar is the king, and he's the king of Babylon. In chapter number 6, Darius is the king. This still takes place in Babylon, but the Medes and the Persians, they conquered the Babylonians. And so now we've got a different empire. We've got a different style of government. We've got a different leader. And we are decades later than Nebuchadnezzar. There's actually another king in between these two. His name was Belteshazzar, and he is in Daniel chapter number 5. And so a lot of time has transpired since Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2, Daniel is a young man. Daniel chapter number 6, Daniel is an older man. Now, I want to take just a few moments and read Daniel chapter 6 and verses 1-10. Maybe you are familiar. Maybe if you might remember this from Sunday school, even as a child growing up. If you went to church and learned about Daniel, you would have learned about Daniel being cast into the den of lions. And so that's what we're looking at today. Verse number 1, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. and over these presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And so we find this King Darius, and his system of government was he had men under him, presidents, and the Bible talks about them there, these presidents and princes. So he had a large kingdom, and he had a lot of men working under him. We might think of him as the president, and these other men as Congress or senators, something like that. But he had 120 leaders, appointed leaders, and Daniel, he was the top one. He was preferred above all the rest. Verse number 4 said, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And so politics, dirty politics, these men, they want to find an angle to get rid of Daniel, but they couldn't find anything wrong with him. Well, verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now, his God was different than their God. They were idolaters. He worshiped the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, and he was faithful unto him. Verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. They come up with a new law and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And so they went before the king, and they said, we got a new law we want to present before you. For 30 days, nobody ask anything of anybody, of any god, except they ask of thee. And you know, that's pretty flattering to the king. Boy, that puts him in the place of God. Boy, everybody that wants anything has to come and ask me for the next 30 days. And it had to be pride that got to his mind, because I wouldn't want to be put in that position, and he would not be able to fulfill it. But anyway, that's what they did, and he signed the writing and the decree. Now, verse number 10 is what I want to get to. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And so as soon as Daniel heard about what had been passed, the new law that had been passed, he went and prayed to his God. Now, we're talking about Daniel being a hero of prayer. And you have to realize that what took place here was a law was passed against the kind of praying that Daniel was doing, the kind of praying that Daniel was praying. And so the first thing Daniel did, he went, what did he do? He didn't quit praying. He went and he prayed about it. Now, I want to point out just a few things from this passage of Scripture. I want to point out, first of all, the conspiracy against prayer. A conspiracy is just people getting together, working together to a certain end. They conspire together. And so we find these presidents, these governors and princes and counselors and the captains, they consulted together to establish a royal statute. We find that in verse number 7, a conspiracy against Daniel and a conspiracy against prayer, the kind of praying that Daniel prayed. Now, they made a law that the only kind of, now they didn't make a law against prayer. I want to point this out. They made a law that the only kind of prayer that was approved was a prayer to the king. That's what it says in verse number 7, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, I call that government-approved prayer because that's what that is. It was not a law that nobody could pray, but if they prayed, it had to be approved by the government. It had to be in accordance with the new law that they had passed. Now, I preached a message one time, and I've said this before, history, and I'm not the first one that said it by any means, but if you're a student of history, what you will find out is that history repeats itself. You'll find in history some of the same things happen over and over and over again. And it is interesting to me that in our modern technological, politically correct age that we live in, that prayer would still, these thousands of years later, be as controversial as it is. And prayer is a controversial thing. We find it many times in the headlines and have for a generation now. Many years ago, they come up and they begin to be concerned and talk about prayer in the schools. Well, we're not going to have prayer in the schools anymore. And then if you're familiar with anything that goes on, for example, like the Christian Law Association, I get a newsletter from them every month, and they are continually having to help Christians that are having trouble prayer in the workplace. And I'm not talking about Christians that would just all of a sudden stand up and start praying, but I'm talking about if they're praying at lunch, sit down and pray over their meal, and the workplace seems like that they should have a say-so in this. This has been in the news in North Carolina for years now. Prayer at board meetings, prayer at a county commissioner meeting or a school board meeting. This has went all the way to the Supreme Court and back. Should there be prayer at places like this, prayer at sporting events? Back last fall, there was, I believe it was out in Texas, it was a football coach. And for years and years, he's went out and he's prayed with his football team. Well, somebody didn't like it, and they complained, and they came and they told the coach. They said, you know, if you do it, you're going to lose your job. And he said, well, I'm going to do it. And, you know, why should a man lose his job? He's been doing this all along. But this is still controversial even today. It was in Daniel's day. It is today. And what really stirs the pot. Now, this ought to concern us. I haven't heard anybody pray, or I haven't heard anybody complaining about the Muslims. They pray five times a day. If you lived in some cities where there's a big population of the people of the Muslim faith, I mean, they stop what they're doing. If they're driving a cab, they'll stop, get out, and pray. I mean, everything closes down so that they can pray five times a day. Hadn't heard anything about that. But I'll tell you what is controversial is prayers that are made in Jesus' name. I heard a pastor give a testimony. It's probably been a couple years ago. He was invited to a certain event to pray, to open this meeting up in prayer. And so he counted it a great honor. He talked about, you know, he went down there. He and his wife, they had to travel. They had to spend the night. Boy, they gave him rolled out the red carpet, showed him around, gave them a tour of the place they were going to be at, told them how glad they were for him to be there and what an honor it was. And one of the gentlemen that had, I guess, invited the pastor to come and open up the meeting in prayer, the night before, he told the pastor, he said, I love you. We're glad you're here. We're honored you're here. But I've just got one thing to ask you. When you pray in the morning to open up this important meeting for us, I just have one favor. Don't pray in Jesus' name. Well, that was highly offensive to the pastor, and it upset him quite a bit. And if I remember correctly, he went home, he prayed about it. He and his wife packed up, they went back home. He said, if I don't pray in Jesus' name, I'm denying my God. And so it wasn't that they didn't want him to pray. They didn't want him to pray in Jesus' name. It is not that government is anti-religious or anti-prayer. I've read and studied a lot about communist Russia when I was growing up. And you hear about communist Russia and how that they were atheist. But do you know communist Russia allowed churches? They allowed pastors. They allowed people to go to church, but it just had to be a government-approved church, government-approved pastors, government-approved songs, government-approved messages, government-approved prayers. We ought to be very leery. We ought to be very upset when the government wants to stick its nose into our private prayer lives. And that is exactly what we find going on here in the book of Daniel, when we find government regulating prayer, regulating our religious worship. That is going too far. When a government gets to that point that they want to do that, there's a reason behind it. They want to control those who are praying. That is what Nebuchadnezzar was doing in Daniel chapter number 3. Do you remember over there where he built the image of gold and he said at a certain time there's going to be music and everybody is going to bow down and worship this image of gold? Nebuchadnezzar was not that religious, but he knew if he could control everybody's worship, he could control everyone. And so that's what Nebuchadnezzar wanted. That's what these presidents wanted. They wanted to get rid of Daniel. And so in order to get rid of Daniel, you know, he wasn't a politician. He wasn't crooked. He wasn't taking money on the side. He wasn't embezzling money from the government coffers or anything like that. And so they had to find something about Daniel concerning him and his God. But here's why Daniel is a hero of prayer. When they passed a law and they said you can't pray, Daniel went and prayed. And so we need people today, although it's not popular and, you know, it causes controversy, but we need people who will just say, you know, I'm going to pray anyway. And that's exactly what Daniel did. That is why Daniel is a hero of prayer. Now, Daniel had great confidence in his God. And although the sentence that was passed upon him, you know, they didn't say, Daniel, if you pray, we're going to dock your pay, you're going to lose your job, we're going to suspend you for 30 days without pay or anything like that. They said, Daniel, you know, when they passed this law, and they didn't say Daniel, but everybody knew who it was directed towards. It was directed towards Daniel. And the penalty for that was, we're going to throw you in the den of lions. You know, this is a death penalty for disobeying the current law against prayer. But I want to point out the confidence of Daniel. And so verse number 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And I've got this underlined in my Bible, as he did aforetime. Now, Daniel was not the kind of person that said, oh no, there's an emergency, I'd better pray. His whole life was one of prayer. He prayed as a young man when the king had a dream, and he said, I'm going to kill all the astrologers and wise men, and if you can't interpret my dream, then what good are you? Basically, I'm paraphrasing in Daniel chapter number 2. But he said, you know, I'm going to kill all of you. I don't need you if you can't tell me my dream and the interpretation. But we studied a couple of weeks ago. Daniel went, he got his friends, and they prayed about the thing. And Daniel had confidence in his God, that his God would answer his prayer. And even as a young man, Daniel chapter 2, verse number 23, Daniel said, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. And Daniel had faith, and Daniel prayed to God, and God answered his prayer. And then there's another example. We'll not pull this out in great detail, but in Daniel chapter number 5, another king comes along, Belteshazzar, and he has a vision, and there's a writing on the wall, and they don't know what it means. And somebody says, hey, I remember in Nebuchadnezzar's days, there's this guy named Daniel. And Daniel knew what it meant. Let's go get Daniel and let's bring him and he'll interpret it for us. Daniel chapter 5, verse 11. There's a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. And so Daniel had a reputation that he was a man of God and a man of prayer, and that he had the answer to things that other people did not have. And so Daniel, when the test of his faith came, only did what he had been doing all along. He didn't change his routine. He didn't say, oh no, now I got to go pray. He prayed all the time, and he trusted God. That's what it says in verse number 10, as he did aforetime. Daniel had more confidence in prayer to his God, with a capital G, than he did his king, with a little K. You see, they passed a law. They said, you can ask, you can pray, but you have to ask the king. But Daniel knew that wasn't going to do any good. He wasn't going to alter his prayer life to go and ask a man something that he was accustomed to asking his God for. And his God, we see, Jehovah God. We need to beware. We need to be very leery of a government that pretends to sit in God's place. That's what they were trying to make out of King Darius here, when they said nobody would pray and ask anything of any man or any God for 30 days. What was that saying about King Darius? That was saying, you know, you're God, basically. You are our provider. That's what they were saying. That's what they were putting in the mind of King Darius. You meet all of our needs. You are our guidance. We're not asking what we should do unless we come and ask of you. You, O King, are our grantor of rights. Let me say something today. Our rights do not come from the government. Our rights that we have are God-given rights. The founders of our country, they realize this. And so we find that in the Declaration of Independence, that they recognized that God was the one that granted us our freedom, our rights, that they come from him. And so I want to show you something else. We see Daniel. He's a great man of prayer. He's a hero of prayer. They said it's against the law to pray, and if you pray, we're going to cast you into the den of lions. Well, let me show you what else happened. There's the consequences of Daniel's prayer. The consequences of his prayer. They said, don't pray. He prayed. Well, they had basically set him up. They had framed him. And they found out he was praying. You know, they went through some legalities there, but for sake of time, I'll just go on down to verse number 16 and show you what happened. And here's what you might remember from Sunday school growing up. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. What happened when Daniel prayed? Well, they threw him in the den of lions. That's what they said. They said, if you do this, there's a consequence, and we're going to cast you in the den of lions. And even though the king himself did not want to do it, that's exactly what they did. And I say that to say this. There's consequences for following what is right, for doing what is right. Sometimes when we follow and do what's right, we'll suffer because of it. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. You shouldn't be surprised about this. And so what did they do? They cast him into the den of lions. You know, the difference between liberty and tyranny is always this. If you study this out, even in the Bible, Daniel and his people, well, why didn't they rebel against that? Why didn't they do something? Why didn't they? Because they were slaves. Because they were captives. Because they were subjects of a foreign ruler, a foreign nation that did not know anything about them or their God. They had no means whatsoever to defend themselves. That's the difference. That's why they threw Daniel into the den of lions. They had nowhere, no other option. They were just martyrs. They were just their lives were at the whim of the king. They had no means to defend themselves. Now our forefathers, you know, we're not in Babylon. We're not being ruled by the Medes and the Persians. Our forefathers were wise. they gave us a Bill of Rights, not rights. The rights were already there, but they explained it out, a Bill of Rights. And in the Bill of Rights, along with guaranteeing freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of a redress of grievances against the government that we could peaceably assemble and make our case without fear of prison or persecution or something like that. Right along with that, that's number one, but right along with that, number two, they put in the Bill of Rights that we the people have a right to keep and bear arms. And that keeping and bear arms, that is not in case of a deer uprising. You know, they were not afraid that the wild turkeys and wild bears were going to come along and overtake the people. That was because of the government. That was to ensure what we read in the First Amendment, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, all of these things. So they were wise, and we ought to be blessed to live in a country that understands where our rights come from, and also in a country that was founded upon not so much a fear, but a suspicion of those in power. We'd better make sure we do something to keep these fellas in check. They might turn out to be bad. They might try to overpower, overcome, control us in some way. And so Daniel, what happened to him? He was cast into the den of lions. But here's the difference. Daniel was delivered. Daniel was cast into the den of lions. What do you think he did? I'd say he had a prayer meeting down there. And God delivered Daniel, verses 18 through 21. I don't have time to read all these. I'll just read verse 22. The next morning, Daniel was fine, and he told the king that come down to check on him and see if he was still alive. Daniel said, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." And so I like to read this whole chapter. The king laid awake all night. Daniel, he didn't. God delivered him while the king was pacing the floor, but he was delivered. How come? He was a man of prayer. His enemies were destroyed in verses 23, verse number 24. Somebody said, well, the lions just weren't hungry, and so they didn't eat Daniel. That's all that it was. But the very next morning, they took these enemies of Daniel. They put them in the den of lions, and all of a sudden, they were very hungry, it looks to me like. It said in verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. And so when they were thrown into the den of lions, the den shook them like a dog shakes a rag doll, and broke them in pieces and devoured them. And so I guess all of a sudden the lions got their appetite back. But how come that happened? Well, because Daniel was a hero of prayer. He was a man of prayer. And the Bible said there that he believed his God. And here's one last thing, and our time is almost gone. We've got about a minute left, but I'll point this out. The decree of the king was changed, and the whole law and everything. Now, at the beginning, it looked very, very bad for Daniel and those that believed like Daniel. But Daniel being steadfast and having faith in God, it changed the law. One praying man changed everything. In verse 26, the king said, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. And so the king had a change of mind, and there was a change of law. And one man made all the difference. We need some heroes of prayer in this day and time in which we live. So our time is quickly come and gone today. This has been a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and you've been listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And we pray that God blesses you. Have a great day. Be safe. And thank you for listening.